Listening Library presents One More Mountain by Deborah Ellis, read for you by Mira Simhon. To those who keep climbing long past when they should have to. Chapter 1.
No one can help me, Dumsa said. You can't help me.
She teetered at the very edge of the roof of the ruined building. I really can. The policewoman stood on the roof behind her. She took a step toward the girl.
It's no good, Dumsa said.
A shuffle of her feet sent stones tumbling down three stories to the broken concrete chunks below.
My father wants to kill me.
Yes, I imagine he does. The policewoman took two more steps forward. There are men who want to kill me, too. She held out her hand toward Dumsa and actually smiled. But they'll have to find us first. Chapter 2. Dumsa peered through the screen covering her eyes. She had never worn a burqa before, but the officer had taken two out of the police car, pulled one over her own head, and insisted Dumsa wear the other one. It will be safer for both of us. It was also safer for them to abandon the police car in the weeds by the ruined house, where Dumsa had almost jumped off the roof. The Taliban are hunting down women in uniform, the police officer told her. They walked for 3 hours, ducking and hiding, each time a pickup truck full of Taliban soldiers drove along the highway. Now, finally, they had arrived. We're here. High gray walls framed a large, bright pink gate decorated with painted flowers in orange, blue, and yellow. Dumsa read the name on the gate. Green Valley. The policewoman pressed the buzzer and then flipped back her burqa so that the eyes on the other side of the small opening could see her face. Dumsa heard a bolt slide back. The door in the gate was swung open by a girl Dumsa's age.
Shaozia!
A boy around 11 let go of the big suitcase that he'd been pulling toward a car in the courtyard. He ran to the policewoman and gave her a giant hug.
I thought you wouldn't get here on time, he said.
Do you really think I'd let you go to the other side of the world without a proper goodbye from me? Shaozia asked. Rafi, I should arrest you for even thinking that.
Rafi laughed.
Mariam's giving Mama a hard time, he said.
Another day at the office, then.
Shaozia hugged Rafi close again. Then he ran off across the yard.
Mama, Shaozia's here!
I'm glad you made it, said the girl who had let them in the gate.
Not half as glad as I am, said the officer.
This is Dumsa.
Hello, Dumsa, the girl said.
I'm Larmina. I'll get you something to eat.
She left them in the yard. Officer Shaozia led Dumsa to a bench in the yard under a tree.
You can take off the burqa, she said.
Dumsa was relieved to sit. She'd been on the run for days with no food and very little water. She'd been too afraid to sleep much. Now that she was seated, she was too tired to even lift the burqa from her face. The policewoman did it for her. Larmina brought a tray with water, dates, and walnuts, and left it on a little table beside the bench. Shaozia poured Dumsa a drink and handed her the glass, then poured herself some water and sat down beside her.
Welcome to Green Valley, Officer Shaozia said, and drained her glass.
Dumsa tried to raise her glass to her lips, but her hand was shaking. She used both hands and took a long drink. She looked around at where she was. There was color everywhere, so much color that the rest of the world Dumsa had known seemed dull and dusty by comparison. The bright, whitewashed walls around the compound were covered in designs and murals. Carpets and quilts aired in the sunshine.
Even the bench she was sitting on was painted light blue with purple irises. Many gardens bloomed. Tidy pathways wove between the gardens, leading to a one-story main house and several smaller outbuildings toward the back. The main house had a large awning for protection from the sun and the rain. The whole place was neat and yet a bit messy and full of life. The courtyard at Thumsa's father's house had been all gray stone, meticulously swept by servants who scurried away like frightened mice whenever a member of the household or a guest appeared. Her father liked the help to stay out of the way. A woman with a straight back and a determined jaw came out of the main building, took two steps toward Shaozia, then turned back and called through the open door.
Mariam, if you are not out here in 5 minutes, they are leaving without you.
I don't know why you shout at her, Parvana, said Shaozia, leaving the bench and crossing the yard to her.
You know it does no good.
They have to be at the safe house before dark, Parvana said. She and Shaozia loaded the big suitcase the boy had been pulling into the open trunk of the car.
I won't have them on the road after dark.
I'm sure Asif knows that, said Shaozia.
You're sure I know what?
A man on crutches, an empty trouser leg neatly pinned up, came into the yard with two backpacks over his shoulders.
I'm sure you know not to cause your wife extra worry.
That I do know, he said, tossing the two packs into the car's back seat.
How bad is it out there?
There are Taliban on the highway, said Officer Shaozia. But if you stick to the back roads, you should make it to Kabul without a problem.
Inshallah, he said. Princess Mariam is on her way out.
Soon she'll be Nuria's problem, said Parvana. She put her arms around Rafi. Asif joined them in the embrace. A voice called from the house.
I am here. I am ready. I couldn't find my gold. I turned all my music earnings into gold chains to take with me, but I couldn't find them. Then I remembered they are already around my neck.
A woman, younger than Parvana and Shaozia, and much more beautifully dressed in an elaborately embroidered tunic, came into the yard pulling a small suitcase.
I don't know why we have to leave so early, the woman said. Our flight doesn't leave until midday tomorrow.
Damsa nearly dropped her glass of water. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. All exhaustion fell away as she got to her feet and practically flew across the yard.
You're Mariam Gulalai, she said. You're Mariam Gulalai. I know all your songs.
Mariam's face went from annoyed and flustered to smiling and gracious.
Aren't you kind, she said, adjusting her chador so that it draped more elegantly. What is your name?
Damsa, I did a YouTube video of me singing one of your songs, Almond Trees in Bloom. Did you see it?
I'll look it up when I'm in the airport, Mariam said. Goodness knows I'll have lots of time. She glared at Parvana. Get in the car, Mariam, said Parvana.
But when Mariam started to do that, Parvana grabbed her and hugged her.
I love you, and I am so proud of you,
Damsa heard her say. Damsa felt herself shoved out of the way as other girls rushed out of the house and into the yard, all saying goodbye and crying. She went back to her bench. Shaozia got the girls through their farewells and back inside the house. Then it was just Parvana, Rafi, Asif, and Mariam left by the car. Rafi started to cry.
Mama, don't make me go. I don't want to go.
Parvana knelt down so she could look him in the eye.
Yes, you do. You want to go and become a famous Afghan ballet dancer. You will show all those students at that school what it means to work hard and dream big. You will create dances of such beauty that people will look at them and say,
That is Afghanistan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?